looking for a single chance of a run out. Or an edge, there it is! Look at the Aussies! That's the little urn, it's back with the Australians! How well have they played?
Audio there, courtesy of Channel 9, the final wicket falling in Australia, an innings and 41-run victory. To talk to us about that and also what's biting out in Gippsland, it's a very good morning to Merv Hughes, Australian cricket legend. Hello, Merv.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we?
Very well. I suppose you're waking up pretty proud to be a former Test player today with a series whitewash now on the cards. Can they go 5-0, the Aussies?
Well, they've got a good start, haven't they? I think that'll be the furthest thing from their movement this morning.
Yeah.
We would have celebrated hard last night. They've got a little bit of time to recover for Boxing Day, and when they start tuning back in, they'll be thinking about that. It's been done once before by a fantastic Australian side with the likes of Gilchrist, McGrath, Warne, all those guys. Now, these guys are just putting their footprint in the sand, aren't they? The bowls are bowling well, the batsmen are doing everything right. And Tim Payne, who I must admit surprised me, his selection, but he hasn't put a foot wrong. So they're going very well and they're heading in the right direction.
I was surprised you left your own name out of the list of Aussie bowling and Australian cricketing legends there, Murph, but good to be talking to you this morning. What sort of celebrations were they done? Is it a bit more subdued nowadays? It probably would have been pretty full on in your day, but would it be more family orientated now?
I'm tipping it would have been huge. It would have been massive, the celebration they had last night. Families included, and that's the great thing about Darren Lehman, and he really includes the family, and it's easy to do that on home soil. It's a little bit harder when you're overseas, and when we won it back in 89, Bob Simpson and Alan Border had a rule that no wives into the hotel, so most of the boys just got out and got amongst it, as in having a drink and getting together there, but 93 was a little bit different. It started to get more in-house, and with social media the way it is now,
yep,
the guys find it very tough to get out and enjoy themselves. So it would have been an in-house party last night, and it would have been massive.
Merv, tell us about the selections. I know you mentioned Tim Payne at the start was a bit of a surprise, and of course Mitch Marsh, probably a little bit of a surprise as well coming in for this Test match. But you've got to give it to the selectors. Everyone who they've backed has really performed throughout the series.
Yeah, without doubt. So Bancroft came in at the expense of Renshaw, and I thought that was a half move, and
yep,
and he's been very good. There was conjecture over that number six spot initially, and Sean Marsh came in and made a 50 in the first test, made 100 in the second test, vindicated. Tim Payne, he wasn't even in my reckoning. I didn't mention him. He's come in, hasn't put a foot wrong, and you got a feel for Petey Hanscom. He's been dropped. He's averaging 47 in Test cricket. He's been okay without being outstanding. And then Mitch Marsh comes in and makes 180. Mate, what the selectors have done, they've taken a bit between the teeth and said, right, these guys are in form, we're going to pick them. And the players haven't let them down. So it's been great. But as I said, you've got to feel for Petey Hanscom. Virtually did nothing wrong, as did Matt Renshaw, didn't do too much wrong. I thought they would have played, but no, the selectors made the changes and they've come off, so they'd be well pleased with the selectors.
Merv, you have been Australian selector. Is there a charter for what they're looking to do and a particular theme in the selection, or is it simply just about picking the best players in form? How does it work?
Well, I don't know what the philosophy is now, but the philosophy when I was selecting was a view to the future, but all eyes on this test match. So it's one test at a time with a view to the future. So basically, if we're playing a very good side and we're full strength, you go with a full strength side. If you win a series and there's an injury or something, you try and bring in a younger bloke. And I suppose Brad Hodge was a victim of that. And we know in Victoria how hard done by he was, but he was a senior player, so you didn't want to bring him in to give him experience when you had Hodding, Clark, Hussey, all those guys around the same age. You wanted to bring a younger bloke in and give him an opportunity. So, yeah, with that, they've done a fantastic job. And, mate, you don't have to worry about the future, do you? You've got Mitch Stark, you've got Pat Cummings in there, you've got Hazelwood. They're going to be there for the next 10 years.
Yeah, it's a very solid lineup going forward. I want to reflect.
Hang on, boys, we're just filming here. JK is on a fish of a lifetime. Well, about 45 centimetre brim, I reckon. Oh, sorry about that.
Beautiful.
But, we might have to talk. Make some noise, boys. Make some noise.
But where do we find you? Where are you actually catching that brim from?
Mate, we're at the mouth of the Mitchell River in Gippsland. So we're up here and we're also promoting the Twin Rivers Brim Classic, which is in July next year. So any of your listeners that are fishing and want to fish a comp, 14th to 15th of July next year, come along, put your name down and come along.
Magnificent.
And, oh, look at that. He's a good fish. Sorry about which fish is something not radio guys. That's a monster.
Oh, we've got a bit of live fishing commentary. I love it for a big move.
Sorry about that, boys.
All good. I just wanted to ask you about Steve Smith. I mean, you've seen a lot of good batsmen in your time and had to bowl to a lot of good batsmen. Where does he rate for you now? Because he seems to elevate himself with every innings he plays at the moment.
Yeah. Listen, he just goes from strength to strength. And like Alan Border, like Mark Cale, like Steve Waugh, like Lizzie Ponting, like Michael Clark, the captaincy has brought the best out of him. And that's been the quality thing of Australian cricket over the years, is that when the new leader comes on, it's virtually just an extension of what they've been doing. They just lead from the front. Steve Smith has been absolutely fantastic. His averages and what he's done would put him well up amongst Sir Donald Bradman, Greg Chapman, Ricky Ponting. There's arguments now over who's better. But at the moment, I reckon he's still just a little bit behind. He'd definitely be in the top 10, arguably in the top 5, but I reckon we just wait till the end of his career. But if he keeps going like this, mate, he's going to be second behind Sir Donald Bradman.
Yeah, no doubt about that. One last one to leave you on, Merv. I know a lot of us would have watched the Forged in Fire documentary. We had Pete Dixon in the studio last week talking about it and all the different interviews. Now, how much fun was that as a past player to be involved in?
Yeah, it was great. It was a huge honour to be asked. And when you see the finished product, it was absolutely fantastic. And to follow the Ashes right through, and that Lillie Thompson era, that was me growing up as a kid watching that, just thinking, how good is this? And like for me growing up, my three heroes were Ian Chappell, Rod Marsh and Dennis Lillie. So by that account, I was always going to grow a moustache, wasn't I?
Yeah, exactly. Murph, it's been great having you on. Hope they keep biting throughout the morning, and we'll definitely catch up before the end of summer. Thanks again.
Okay, guys. Have a great Christmas. Cheers.